those that are wanting something more than just the normal. You know, people are looking for something. They're looking for the supernatural. But many times they're looking for just that comfort, that hope, something that bleeds into their system and says, you know what, it's all going to be all right in the morning. You know, God is still God. Even though they say, I can't see this God you serve, I can see him through you. Our testimonies, church, so important. My message tonight is entitled, Perfect Blemishes. And my text, if we can stand for the reading of the word, and I'll go ahead and get into my message. Perfect Blemishes. My text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. When everyone gets there, please say amen. This is so sudden. I was expecting, Pastor, one more slide. I was just sitting here just... I didn't even get to clean my trumpet out. Okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. I'm watching the clock too, so. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy tonight, God. One more opportunity under mercy and grace to be, Lord God, in this place, in this sanctuary, in this church, Lord God, to be able to minister your word, to be able to preach your word one more time, Lord God, for this season, for this place, for this time, Lord God, for this congregation, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, what you're doing, what you have done, Lord, for being just everything you are to us, Father. We ask for your blessing upon the reading of your word. We ask, dear God, that you anoint this message tonight, Father. Anoint the ears, the minds, and the souls, Father, to hear your word, to understand your word, and to accept your word, Father. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for goodness. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You know, church, as I was thinking tonight, you may be seated. I was looking around earlier as I got up here, and I was thinking to myself, a thought crossed my mind, you know, how many places, how many communities still have church on Sunday night? Not a lot. How many places still have church Sunday morning? Even with this COVID thing going on. And then you look at the church itself. How many people aren't in church because they decided they just didn't want to be here? Because, church, we are so close to the end. There really isn't any good excuse any longer other than true sickness. But I'm talking about just the excuse that, well, I just didn't feel like going to church today. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about the sickness we inflict on ourselves, on our minds. A blemish. You know what we do, church, many times is we put a blemish on our own lives. And let me give you a definition of what a blemish is. This pastor as the educator in the room, and Sister Kathy and Sister Sarah's not here. Who else is the other? Sister Pepper, all you educators. Noun. The noun definition of what a blemish is. A small mark or flaw which spoils the appearance of something. A verb. The verb definition of a blemish is spoils the appearance of something that is otherwise aesthetically perfect. You know, church, there's a lot of blemishes in our lives. God has worked through a lot of things in our lives, a lot of blemishes, a lot of things that we've had to overcome. But many times, church, those blemishes we've imposed on ourselves. Many times we're born with the nature that we're born with, church. There are things in our lives that make our character, that make our disposition, that make us who we are, the way we act, the way we say, those flaws, those things in our lives that drive others crazy. You know, question is, you know, this morning in Sunday school, who is your neighbor? Well, sometimes we don't want to know who our neighbor is because their flaws drive us batty. But you know, church, sometimes your flaws drive them batty. If you really think about that, we all got flaws. A craftsman, a person that works with wood. You know, avoids blemishes in anything they do. A true craftsman will sit there and he will work with wood. And I'm going to talk about somebody, a carver. He wants to create something wonderful. And he works hard at it. He puts it together. He finds the right piece of wood and he starts the cutting and the shaving and the sanding. And he goes through the whole process of trying to make something beautiful. But then he comes across a blemish. Now, church, if a craftsman puts a blemish on a piece of wood, it's his fault. He's the creator. He's the one that dropped his creation on the floor and knocked a piece of wood off. Or accidentally drove the drill bit too far. Or got the Dremel just a little bit too hot and now scorched the wood. Right, Timothy? Things like that, right? But many times, church, that piece of wood, and we discover a lot of that during a Pinewood Derby. There's some pieces of wood that just have a little bit of a blemish in them. Many times, that piece of wood has got a blemish already in it. And you know what a craftsman does? He works around it. And he makes that blemish part of his creation. He takes that blemish and he makes it part of what he's creating. Part of that final, beautiful piece of work. Isn't that what God does with us, church? He sees us with our blemishes. And he takes what we have and he works through it and around it and makes us go through a process. Because his hands are so critical in our lives as Christians. And we need that, church. Many times we need that refinement. Because there's no one else that's going to refine. It's going to work through your blemish. But you and God, the Creator. Just like us, we have blemishes. And God takes those blemishes, our flaws, and masterfully corrects our flaws to his perfect will. Think about that. To his perfect will. Whatever your hang up is, church, and I'm talking about whatever your flaws is, because every morning when you get up, you look in the mirror, what do you see? Some don't want to answer the question. Yeah, it kind of scares you. Or even at night before you retire for the evening, you take one look at yourself and you think, wow, I look like this all day. You know, church, God sees us throughout our lives. And he sees the flaws sometimes we want to cover up. Many times the flaws we have in our lives, church, we have scar tissue on there. It's like that knot in a piece of wood. You don't know how bad that knot is until you start sanding and trying to turn that wood. And you find that knot grows a little bit deeper. And it's a little bit brittle or it starts to crumble. Many times we're like that. We've tried old growth. We've had things grow over those blemishes in our lives. Because, church, there's sometimes those things are hurt. There's deep down hurts. Let me encourage the church. There's a lot of people out there that you've already experienced what they've experienced. Those blemishes. And sometimes God uses you to help them get through their lives and the things that they're experiencing. Church, we are dealing with a lot today. The election isn't over. We're still going through a process of uncertainty. It concerns many people, a lot of Americans. Actually, the whole world is concerned. Because no one is sure what is going on in this country of ours. The United States of America. Liberty reigns. And all of a sudden, we got problems. Corruption on every front. And this corruption spreads. You know, church, that corruption's always been there. Thank you, brother. I think I really needed that. Can I keep the cap? All right. Put it on pastor's tap. You know, it's always been there. Corruption's always been there. It's just showing its ugly face. Because anymore, church, sin is rearing its ugly head and looking straight at the church of the living God and saying, I'm going to do what I want. Well, I got news for you. Tonight, to every demon from hell, for Satan himself, the church will not be undercut. The church will not be trampled upon. The church of the living God is going to go forward, church, tonight. No matter what happens in this election, no matter what happens with all the politics, with world events, God is still God tonight. And God is still looking at our blemishes and saying, I can work through your blemish. And I can get you to where you need to be. But church, sometimes we need to look in the mirror and take a good look at ourselves and say, you know what? I do have some things I got to work through. And the only person I can work through them with me is going to be God. God is looking for those, that remnant tonight. Like I said earlier, as I opened up, I look around. How many are in church tonight? God is looking for remnant. But in that remnant, church, we all have flaws. We all have flaws. There's things that we are still getting worked on, worked through, because we're not perfect. I think as pastor said, you know, pray for patience. You know, my response back there is I don't have time to pray for patience, right? Because we don't. How many people are patient? And you can tell me you're patient, church, until you get behind that guy in the grocery store that decides to start paying with pennies, drops a few pennies, and starts counting his change. And I can tell you, those of you that play with a debit card, or with a $20 bill, or a couple of 20s, you just want change back, that person that is paying with change, it will drive you insane. Because that will be a test. And there's no need for that, right? But we do that because we're always in a hurry. You know, coming to church tonight, my wife and I were talking, and we were looking at the beautiful sunset. You know, this beautiful Oklahoma orange. I mean, it was lighting up the sky, beautiful. I thought the same creator that creates the sunrise creates a sunset. Regardless of what's happening in our situations in this country, God is still God. And God still looks down upon man and says, you know what, you all have flaws, but I'm going to work through them. There are failures and defects in the body until we come into glory. You know that the master is still patient when he handles our flaws? Mercy and grace, church, tonight have been extended to us. That's why these doors are still open. That's why these lights are still on. That's why we're all come together as a congregation tonight, because God's mercy and grace has been extended for one more evening, one more day. The day of testing is going to come, church. We're all going to be tested. Now's the time to put the doubt away and increase your faith. And say, Lord, regardless of the flaws in my life, I'm going to put my life into the hands of the ultimate craftsman, who is going to refine, who is going to take my flaws and incorporate it to something for his benefit, something for his glory, something for his kingdom, church. Because we are all not perfect. Sister Kathy told me a story. She was talking to the Ranger kids the other night. Weston and London was in there with her. And I guess Sister Kathy made a comment about, you know, we have all, I think she said we have all sinned. And I guess London kind of looked at her and said, Sister Kathy, is that what she said? You have sinned? Even you, Sister Kathy? Well, for young children at that age, they think we're almost perfect. But we know our flaws. We know our shortcomings. We know our tempers. We know what makes us smile and what irritates us, because we all know what we have inside. But God looks past that. And God says, I'm going to take those flaws tonight, and I'm going to take those blemishes, and I am going to work through them as a craftsman would. And I'm going to make something beautiful out of your life. So many times, church, we need to see past the flaws in other people. And we need to look for the successes in their lives. You know, even diamonds have flaws in them. Even a diamond. People say it's the perfect diamond. But even diamonds have just minute flaws in their development. Because as I understand it, nothing is perfect until my God has touched it and refined it and cleaned it up. But even diamonds have flaws. And church, it's like our lives. There's many people out there that are looking for someone to tell them, you know what, you're a diamond, you're worth a lot, you may have flaws, but God sees the value of your life as a diamond, not the flaws that you would bring into any kind of a relationship. God is still God tonight. That's how we deal with the issue with flaws. You know, there's a radio station I listen to, and I mentioned this to a pastor here a while back. It's, you know, they keep talking positive. Everything is positive. Never address the sin issue. And it frustrates me because I think, preach Jesus Christ. All we do is sing the good songs, the good feel, the songs that make you feel good, that make you feel positive all day. It wasn't about feeling positive. It's about worshiping God. We're going to go through battles, church. And I'm not saying anything, everything's got to be negative. But there's a time when some of the church needs to wake up and say, it's not all about being positive. It's about who you serve and how you plan to serve them. It's that praise and worship that comes from your lips, not because you're feeling positive, but because you're feeling gratitude. Because you're feeling you owe him all. Even if you're having a bad day, even if things aren't working out real well for us, church, we can still say, thank you, God. Because, Lord, I woke up this morning and the sun was still shining and I was able to walk out of bed and I was able to stand up and say, thank you, Jesus, in spite of my situation, in spite of my circumstance. God is still God. And he's worthy of every praise, regardless of how we're feeling. God is still saying, give me the praise and worship due me, and I will make your day a great day. Not a positive day. Because I've heard enough of the positive thing over and over, and I think, because it's a facade, Sister Pepper. It's becoming a facade. The church is being lulled into a sleep. Everything is okay. Everything's great. We got to do it this way, this way. They've already put God into a formula. If you do it this way, this way, this way, regardless of your flaws, regardless of God not addressing your flaws, if you do it this way, things will work out because it's positive. I'm telling you, church, those of you that have struggled, that have gone through issues in life, that have dealt with things in your life that have just driven you down into that valley where you can't even get to the back to the top of that mountain, and you're saying, Lord, I don't want to get up there. And many times in that valley, God says, that's where I plant my fruit trees. And God says, pick the fruit and find refreshment. That's where the brooks are at, church, in the valleys coming off the mountains. Many times we think, God, we got to be on the mountaintop to praise. And God says, no, you can do it in the valley. Because regardless of your flaws, I can still be praised because we still have lips. God uses flawed people to further his kingdom. God uses flawed people who are willing to try. People with blemishes. You know, there's people that have given up, but there's many that are saying, you know, I have issues in my life, but I'm willing to try. And God says, just give me your life. That's all I need. I will work out the blemishes in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 30 reads like this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And verse 20, it continues, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, church. And we are all part of the church of God, and we still have blemishes. And God says, I will work through your blemishes. Yeah. I'm trying to encourage you tonight, church, and say, you know what, we know what we are. We know what we don't have. And God says, I will make up the difference if you will but give me your life. You know, church, as I've given a lot of thought, even recently, someone asked me just here this week, have you had any second thoughts about what you're doing? And I said, no. Because my mind has been steadfast and saying, God, you have opened the door, Lord, and this is where I need to go. And the enemy is going to come in. The enemy is going to come in and attack not only myself, my family, the church out there who's going through a COVID situation right now. It's going to attack this church. The enemy is not content, church. He is going to try and get your blemishes and destroy you as a human being, as a person, as a Christian, as a church member, as a member of this congregation. And I can tell you that any time that you stand up every morning and you praise God, your praises are heard even in hell, because they know there's some fire burning. And as far as the lights in the temple are burning, they burn brighter and they burn hotter. Let the altar of sacrifice burn even hotter. Let the enemy see it and say, you know what? The drum beat is starting. Gabriel is grabbing his trumpet. The war is about to begin, and we've already lost this war, and we're really going to get a beating now. God says, I've never lost a battle. You get on the side of Jesus Christ. Many times we say Jesus is on our side. No, you better be on his side, because we don't have any leverage. The battle has begun, church. And God is saying, all you Christians out there, I will take your blemishes, and I will do something good with them. All I'm asking is you give me 100% of your life. Are we willing to do that? So going back to the question I was asked, do you ever doubt? I said, no, I don't doubt. Because I start seeing this big picture of where God brought me from, God brought me through, and God circled me back. And I say, Lord, the way you work, and you know, church, this past Friday night, you know, I was blessed in Royal Rangers to work with a couple of boys, with quite a few boys. But there was two boys that have really gripped my heart from Missouri. You know, I was able to eat dinner with them, to tell them I was leaving. And they gave me a card. And you know, the things they said in that card, the things they told me, we talk about investing in people, sacrifices you make, the things you do for a couple of young boys. And when you know that at a time in their life, they were broken. Dear God, they were broken. And God gave me the opportunity, even with my blemishes, to work with these boys. And many times give them a hug and say, it's going to be okay. Many times pray with them. They're young men now. But it was such a blessing to say, wow, you never leave. And I consider these boys, if they're listening tonight, I consider my sons as well. Because these boys are special. And I say that with all sincerity. Every one of the Ranger boys I've worked with is special, church. Because that's, regardless of the blemishes in my life, I want to give something back to these boys. Learn from my mistakes and do something grander for God's kingdom. These young boys are the future of the church. Regardless, church, if you see their flaws, their blemishes. And you know, when I think about them and I think over the years, how many boys I've worked with, and pictures come to mind. I was looking at pictures the other night and I thought, wow, these are boys that God put in my path. God gave me, blessed me with these boys. I don't consider myself a blessing for them, church. God blessed me with the opportunity to invest something in them. Regardless of their blemishes, regardless of mine. And someday, church, if the Lord tarries, my expectation is to see some of these young boys behind the pulpit someplace. Maybe not running a church. Maybe running a church. But I have an expectation they're going to serve God with everything. And they're going to go down and they're going to work. They're going to go down there on their knees and they're going to work hard for the kingdom of God. Because church, you know, our goal should be that our boys, our young girls, that the minute they drop to their knees and pray, that all of hell should tremble and say, here we go again. It should rock the world down there. Because they say those are Holy Ghost young people. And when they know how to pray, they know how to touch heaven. And they know how to get God's attention. That's the way it should be. Our young people should be setting the example for us. Because many times we're failing to set the example for them. Our young boys. And I focus on young boys because that's what I work with. regardless of their blemishes, church. And sometimes we poke fun at these boys. You know, some of the commanders and I, we mess with them. They enjoy it, I think. I hope, right, boys? Well, you can talk to me about it after church. But it's all in fun because it shows an appreciation and a love for these boys. Because that's been my ministry, church, is Rangers to these boys. Is just working with these boys, regardless of our blemishes. Before we get to present ourselves as part of that glorious church, we need to get some sanctification going on in our lives, church, and we need to get some cleansing going on. Verse 26. Before we hit that verse 27, church. Flaws and philosophy. Let me give you a couple of points here, church. And I'll be wrapping this message up. Flaws in philosophy. Many times there's blemishes in philosophies in what people believe. My biggest example, church, flaws in philosophy is going from Saul to Paul. Acts chapter 7, verse 57 through 60. And it reads like this. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. And ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen looked past their blemishes. And Stephen did what Jesus would have done. Acts 8, verses 1 to 3. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. And then we get to Acts 9, 1 through 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, questions. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and he shall be told thee what thou must do. Two questions, church, two answers. Change in philosophy. You know, many times that blemish we carry around is what we've been taught. Religion will destroy a man. Relationship will build him up. And many times, church, we fail to see that. There's a lot of religions out there. Am I going to be judgmental in every religion? No. But within the Christendom, you know, I look at Christianity and think, you know, here a couple of years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago, these movements started. Charismatic movements, 30 years ago, brought more havoc and destruction to the church. And you know what? The church has never recovered. But God has always found a remnant. Of people that have stood fast on the word, on his word, and said, I am going to serve Jesus Christ no matter what. I am going to give him all I got. One more season, church, is all we got. It is no longer the fourth quarter. It is the end of the fourth quarter in our lives. We are there, church. We are at the edge of it all. Look at the chaos around us. We are there. God is whispering your name. Are you ready? I'm going to look past your blemishes. Are you ready? I'm going to fix you. Give me all you got. Are you ready? And our answer's got to be, yes, I am, Lord. If Saul can become Paul, go from murdering Christians to be willing to be murdered himself, to be killed himself, what would make a man change his philosophy? It's that relationship. It's saying that Paul's flaws deep down inside were bared to Jesus Christ. And they were corrected. And God took who Saul was and made him Paul. Those are flaws in philosophy. Flaws in courage. Peter running from the crucifixion to the crucifixion as he died. Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Matthew 26, verse 56 and verse 75. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, church, Peter ran. Peter denied. Peter realized. And Peter died. Peter died to Peter when he realized who the Messiah was. When the reality hit that he had flaws, he had blemishes, and God was able to correct those, Peter became a mighty man for God. Peter became the voice for Jesus Christ, one of the many voices, one of his apostles. Because then we look at what Peter, after Peter denied Jesus, we look at Acts 2, 14 through 41, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come into pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 21. You know, this whole sermon that Peter gave, a man of courage, this was not the same Peter that ran. This is not the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ, that watched everything from afar. This is now the new Peter that stands and preaches the word of God and stands there as a witness regardless of the blemishes in his life and says, I'm going to tell you about this Jesus Christ who I spent a few years with. Let me tell you, I am convinced he said who he was. I believe he said who he was. At the beginning, I may have had my doubts. Maybe I hung on to his miracles. Maybe I hung on to the way he healed people. Maybe I liked that because there was something special about him. But it was only after he realized that he was special. He was Messiah. And you know, church, as we come towards Christmas now, I think Sister Lindsay was touching on that. You know, have you really given a lot of thought to what this time really means? Take a young child in your hands. Come here, Weston. I don't do a lot of these illustrated sermons, but come here, Weston. Let's see.
Stand up over here. Right up here.
Everyone, take a good look at Weston, okay? This is my man, Weston. How old are you, Weston? He's 5 years old. Back then, if someone were to tell you, Brother Jason, by the time he reaches in about 27, 28 years, he's going to be crucified for you and for each one of you in this building, what would it do to you? If you realize that, that this innocent child that asked some of the greatest questions, this beautiful child, is going to pay the ultimate price. What would it do to you? That was Jesus coming under the shadow of a cross, of a very large and painful cross. That was Jesus who was going to come and be it all for us. Grace and mercy was going to hang on that cross. And many of the world would say it doesn't matter. But there was going to be a remnant that was going to say, you know what, that matters to me. Because regardless of it being a child, it's Messiah. But he has to do it. He's going to hang on the cross because nobody else will. He's going to hang on the cross because there's nobody worthy to do it. There is nobody going to be worthy to even open the scrolls. There is no one worthy to hold, to give the great shout, to give the command. Who's going to lead the armies of God? The Son of God. But he had to come in flesh and say, by the time 27 years have gone by, it will be the worst time of your life. Think about that, church. The reality of it. The pain that he's going to go through. He will be prepared for it. He is going to bear it all in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his tears and his sweat like blood under the shadow of the cross. When you think about Christmas, think about the greatest gift you could have. It wasn't just Jesus Christ. It was what he gave us all. It's his freedom to worship. And he gave us mercy and grace for one more season in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Wesley. He gave it to us for one more season, church. We've got one more day of grace and mercy. We can't even fathom that. Saying, God, why would you do that? Love. Love. Blemishes. And as we read Peter's words, who got to know who Jesus was, Peter gives this long speech, preach, dissertation, wraps it all up and basically says, you crucified the Son of God. But there's grace and mercy. Peter's life had changed. Peter wasn't just going to condemn and say, you all blew it. You crucified Jesus Christ. You blew it. We're saved. You can't be saved. No, he was saying, I'm going to give you a message here about this Son of God. And it comes with grace and mercy and one more opportunity to get it right. Last point, flaws in the heart. From discernment to desertion. King Solomon had one flaw that kept him from being more for the kingdom. And I've always thought about this. His desire for women. God had taken him with his flaws as a young boy and made him more. Give him wisdom, gave him knowledge, gave him discernment, gave him so much more. But the heart can be deceitful. And Solomon never got past his heart, his desire, church. There was, I can't even imagine that many wives and concubines. I think the total number is 1,000. So when they're all asking to throw the trash out, guess what? That's why you're the king. You're going to get your servants to do it. King Solomon, 1 Kings 3, chapter 3, verses 9 through 2, reads like this. This is Solomon asking for wisdom. Verse 9 reads, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon took what God gave him and made it less. Gave him understanding. But Solomon did not guard his heart. Sometimes our biggest flaw, the biggest blemish we have in our lives, church, is our heart. It's very deceitful. We start chasing the wrong things. We start looking at the wrong things. We start desiring the wrong things. And many times, we tend to push God out just enough so we can fit other things in. God simply says, give me all your heart. Don't fill it with anything else. King Solomon took what God gave him. Wisdom, knowledge, and he made it less. God's grace and mercy, church, still extends to us tonight. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4 reads, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. The heart's deceitful, church. Wisdom came with a price. But God gives us wisdom and knowledge, and God simply says, give me your heart, but also wants you to guard your heart, church. Because sometimes our biggest blemish is our hearts. And we struggle with that. And we say, Lord, how do I deal with this? God always gives us the answer, church. God can deal with the flaws in our hearts. It's up to us to maintain them. Time to wash the blemishes. 1 Peter 1:19 reads, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 2 Peter 2:13, and these are various scriptures I kind of went through, and shall receive the reward of a righteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings which they feast with you. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, holiness. Oh, well, now that's a catch word. Because you know, church, many churches don't want to talk holiness. They don't even want to preach sin. Because you got to preach sin, you got to preach repentance. And when you preach repentance, you have to admit that there's flaws, that there's blemishes in the church. And nobody wants to deal with that. How else, church, are we going to welcome the broken into our sanctuary? If we don't have the answer, and we're allowing the blemishes in our lives to corrupt our hearts, many will be lost. God is saying, look in the mirror. Take care of the blemishes. I will correct them for you. I will work with you. I will make you something even better. Because I am looking for someone to stand up, the next Peter, to preach. When they walk in those doors, church, because someday, these doors are going to open to a multitude of people that are crying, that are broken, that are wanting. The day will come, church. There's a reason why this sanctuary is this size. There's a reason why everything is coming together at this time, church. Because God is preparing His nation, His Christian nation, His armies, the armies of God. He is preparing you, the children of God, for the battle. And that battle is going to be won on our knees at these altars. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Titus 3:2-5, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's a lot of blemishes. But after that, the kindness and the love of our God, Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Reevaluate your personal doctrine, your level of commitment, and most importantly, your heart, church, tonight. I want to conclude with this thought. What makes a blemish perfect is the perfect work of God to work through us and remove them. We do not need reminders, church, tonight of where we came out of, but what we are going up to. We all have had and continue to have blemishes, but tonight would be a good time to deal with them, church. Allow the Holy Spirit to remove them tonight, church. A short message that God was showing me this last trip we took. Dealt with a young lady. She's a year younger than me, so I'm still considering her young. And you know, and I just really, it grieves your heart because I knew her in school. She's a year younger than me. I don't know if many of you remember the one time I preached a message about the it was dealing with Laban. I can't remember the title of my message, but I was talking about the woman that no one wanted, Leah. Leah, remember that? She was probably very. She didn't have a lot of beauty. She didn't have a lot of looks that attracted a lot of people. I mean, that people would have been attracted to her. And I thought, you know, I saw this young girl. I thought, you know, she got into a life of drugs, alcohol, life's a mess. And talking to her, I thought years and years ago, I would have thought, wow, you know, you haven't changed. You still look the same, except you're a lot worse now because of a hard life of alcohol and drugs and everything she's been doing. But you know, when I was talking to her, all I could see was her heart. And I said, Lord, is this what you're bringing me for? Because these people are so broken. They are so broken and messed up. And you get that check in your spirit, God saying, that's why I need people praying at the altars. That's why I need people who have looked past their blemishes and looked past the blemishes of those others and said, you know what, just take him to the cross. That's all I'm asking each and every one of us to do. That's what God is saying. Take him to the cross. I will deal with the blemishes. You know, and I thought, Lord, sometimes that seems so simple. But God simply says, I've taken your blemishes and I fixed you. And I can fix anyone because nothing is impossible with God. Because church, just a reminder, our Lord has never lost a battle. And if it's a battle for a soul and you're willing to fight for that soul, that battle is going to be won. And we got to have that faith and confidence, church, because God is looking for a few, a remnant, soldiers that are willing to say, we're going to go to the battlefield for our Lord. And along that battlefield, we're going to find those kind of people. Are you willing to sacrifice and put into their lives? Are you willing to do what it takes? God says, I did it for you. When I went to the cross, I did it for you. When I went to the cross, I looked into the future. And I saw each and every one of you by name. I called you by name because I knew your name. I knew when you were going to be born. I knew everything about you. I also knew your blemishes. And I'm taking care of them at the cross. Church, if we can please stand tonight, if we can get a piano player. We can spend a few minutes at the altars tonight asking God to help us get through those things in our lives that hold us back. Whatever they are, church, whatever it is, whatever continues to get hold of us or we don't want to commit. Young people, what is it that holds you back from giving 100%? Middle-aged people, what is it that keeps you from giving 100%? Older people, What is it that keeps you from giving 100%? Look around the church tonight. Who's missing? Many are sick. Pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. The church don't look at their blemishes. Look at yours. Clean your blemishes up and lead them to the cross. If we can all find a place to pray tonight, and we can ask the Lord to come by in a special way and to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to encourage us at this season, at this time, because God is looking for a few more warriors. Even though we're bruised and battered and we have scars and we covered things up in our lives, God is looking for a remnant now that is willing to go forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before the throne of grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, that you've looked into our lives, that you've taken, Lord God, the scars, you've taken, Lord God, the blemishes, those things, Lord God, that have held us back for many years, Lord, from serving you, God. You've taken and removed them, Lord. Father, that you're willing to create in us. Create us, Lord God. Renew us, refresh us, rebuild us, Lord God. Looking past those things, those blemishes, Lord. And willing to take us as we are, God. And refine us, and hold us, and bless us, Lord. Thank you for grace and mercy tonight, Father. Thank you for this time, for this place, for this congregation. We thank you, dear God. We invite your Holy Spirit to this place, Lord. We ask you, dear God, to finish the message tonight at these altars. In the name of Jesus.